Hello and welcome. In this talk, I'll brief you on what's been happening around Thunderbird in the last year and take a look at what you can look forward to in the upcoming year. I'm Magnus Melin and I'm leading the technical efforts for Thunderbird. If you're not familiar with Thunderbird, let me give you a brief overview. You could say Thunderbird is like a Swiss Army knife of open distributed communication. We want to support and encourage the use of open standards for communication in all forms. We want users to have control of their communications, and if they're not happy, they should be able to switch to something else with the data retained. Now, finding something else that is as feature-rich as Thunderbird will be hard, which I think is a good explanation of why we have around 30 million users. Even with the quirks, we're ahead of the competitors in that regard. On the code level, Thunderbird was originally built using mostly C, C++ backend, XUL for user interface, along with JavaScript and CSS. XUL is an internal technology that Mozilla has used, and it's now being actively phased out in replacement of HTML. Much of our code base is shared with Firefox, and therefore we have a lot of things to do. We have a very rich UI, so that means a lot of XUL to convert over. Anyway, this work is progressing, and I'll tell you a bit more about it later in this presentation. Let's take a brief history lesson. Well, Thunderbird 1.0 was released in 2004 and developed by Mozilla staff from then until 2012, when development was handed over to the community. At that time, many thought Thunderbird was dead. Indeed, it took some time for the community to get organized, with the Mozilla Foundation agreeing to act as the legal and financial home for the project. We managed to get enough donations to start setting up a team of paid developers. And with this growing team, a corporation to handle Mozilla Thunderbird operations was set up in 2020. This is now Mozilla MCLA Technologies Corporation, which is a fully owned subsidiary of the Mozilla Foundation. We're still continuing to grow the team. If you're looking for an exciting job in FOSS, please head over to our careers page at thunderbird.net. In the mid 2020, we released Thunderbird 78, which had more substantial changes than usual. After Firefox dropped support for legacy add-ons with the 57 release, Thunderbird had kept supporting them, and that maintenance burden was substantial and technologically a dead end, so we decided that we too should stop supporting them and instead build our own web extension compatible add-on system, and this is how we got mail extensions. There were a few rather significant add-ons that needed to have an upgrade path. We had MozMill for internal testing, automated testing purposes. There was Lightning, the calendar add-on, and Enigmail for encrypted emails, which were maybe the three main ones. A fourth is perhaps provider for Google Calendar, which is very popular, but for most use cases, that can be replaced simply by using Google CalDAV, which we support as a standard technology. So for MozMill, we managed to convert over all the automated tests to using Mockytests, which is a standard testing framework in Firefox. Lightning, which we had shipped with Thunderbird as an add-on since many years, we decided to integrate as part of the product. Also for Enigmail, we wanted to enable the functionality. We couldn't integrate it as such because it used GNU-PG, causing licensing incompatibilities. So we needed another library for that, for the actual encryption. So he replaced the GNU-PG usage with RMP and BOTAN libraries, which are license compatible. So in 78, legacy add-on support is now gone. Already in the previous version, we added some basic support for web extension compatible APIs, or as we call them, mail extensions. With Thunderbird 78 and beyond, we're continuing to add more of these APIs. You can find a guide for them at developer.thunderbird.net, where you also find other documentation on how to get started with Thunderbird related developments, also for core. Now, legacy add-ons could do virtually anything, so there's no creating of an API for that. To give add-on authors an easy upgrade path to start out with, Thunderbird allows add-ons in also in the form of so-called mail extension experiments. It's also a thing in the Firefox world that there are web extension experiments for internal experiments. So these are similar to legacy add-ons. It's more or less a packaging change with some additional coding, and also of course you need to do all the internal changes that are needed to keep up with internal changes. So the hope is that add-on authors will help the core team come up with what APIs are needed and also to participate in the development, so that successful experiments can graduate and become part of the regular mail extension APIs, which of course have a much lower barrier of entry for new people starting out with add-on development. Also has other positive sides. One thing with mail extension is that we can more or less guarantee some kind of an API compatible stability or an fairly easy upgrade path if an API becomes deprecated. It was quite common in the past that upgrading Thunderbird could lead to add-ons breaking, and add-ons also breaking Thunderbird because they could do anything. This was not good for users, and it wasn't very nice for core developers, and of course add-on authors also didn't like constantly having to chase the newest thing. Fortunately, this should now be a thing of the past, more or less, as at least for the add-ons that have migrated to becoming pure mail extensions. And a lot of add-on authors have gone this route already. For migrating from legacy add-ons, you can see in the chart there that of the more popular add-ons, the lion part has really made it over. Although there is a long tail of less popular add-ons that still hasn't migrated and probably never will. Let's see also a bit of what other things we had in 78. We redesigned the composition area, which you probably noticed if you used Thunderbird 78. Addresses are now represented as bills, and it's no longer one row per address, which used to be the case. We also got started with the new account hub, the account setup. We should be refreshing that so that all the services are listed there to give a better discoverability. This is something we will build on in the next release and move to a more easier setup of all the services at once, more or less. So once you set up your email account, you'll be asked to set up your address book and calendar if we can detect such a thing. There will be some click-throughs, but shouldn't be too complicated, and at least it will be discoverable how to do it, which is a great improvement. For people on who are not on Linux, Windows users, it's also now possible to minimize Thunderbird to the system tray, which was a quite common ask. Now let's take a look at the current developments and what's happened since the latest main release. We're releasing betas. It's now on a 4-week cycle, and we also do upgrades in the middle of that, so there's beta 1, beta 2, but the major betas are from 4-week cycles. We're up to version 86 now, and in the mid of the year we'll see Thunderbird 91, which is going to be the next major release with a lot of changes behind the scenes, but some emerging and user noticeable features as well. As I touched on earlier, the Thunderbird codebase uses a mix of technologies in parts ranging back to the late 90s. Since a few years, we set out to actively move towards using web technologies as much as we can. And we're attacking this on many fronts incrementally. On the front end, what used to be XUL documents are now XHTML with a strong XUL flavor. Elements such as XUL grid, which were using a web incompatible layout, has been replaced, and also support has been dropped from that in the core. Some internal APIs have been dropped in favor of the web equivalent, like drag and drop, which the web caught up with. For the back end, we have IDLs, interface definition files, which say how you can call C++ implementations from JavaScript and the other way around. We had some crafty stuff going on in there. We're now replacing what we have, how we defined, for instance, arrays in these interfaces, so that you are able to use the normal language constructs when you're, for instance, operating on that interface, and also in the future as we go on with rewriting component per component. It's much more easier if you don't have to think too much about how to do an array. Just use what you normally would. So then we have a card dev support. One frequent request over the years has been the ability to sync your address book using this protocol. Case in point, and also one thing that made it more urgent is that since upgrading to Thunderbird 78, there hasn't been a very convenient way to access your Google address book. There used to be an add-on, now defunct, that did it, but this has been a painful point for many. We did quite a bit of preparation for 78, but couldn't finish it in time for the initial 78 release. Since then, we've been busy, and we now have it enabled on beta. It's also been backported, so if you set a pref, you can use it starting with Thunderbird 78.7. Especially for the Google web, sorry, Google Car Dev support, it's kind of important due to how Android usually connects, or you can set it to connect to your Google address book. For calendar, we did work to do auto discovery of calendars. This is one step ahead in making the whole account setup quick, easy, and the features more discoverable. So the UI needs some love, but if you don't mind a bit of rough UI, you can use it in beta. It's available and working. Besides the general backend work, we hope to make iCal.js performant enough to replace the old libical backend. The system integration has been improved. You can now double click an ICS file and that will get imported into Thunderbird, in Thunderbird calendar. You can subscribe to calendars. If you click a webcal link in the browser, Thunderbird will offer to handle that and subscribe to the calendar for you. One thing that is in the planning stage is implementing soft reminders, which will let the calendar notify you a bit more subtle way when events are about to start, for instance. So you don't, if you're sitting in front of the calendar in the computer, you'll know that your meeting actually started now, even if you didn't set an aggressive alarm for it. Then let's have a look a bit on what's going on in other parts of the backend. How Thunderbird creates messages have been fairly convoluted. It still is somewhat. Much of it could have been done in much simpler ways in using JavaScript instead of how we do it in the ancient C++ backend. On beta, we have now rewritten the JavaScript implementation of the backend. And once we're confident it's complete and working, the old backend will be removed and we can then move on to improve the interface going forwards. As part of converting backend components to JavaScript, we've taken on using JavaScript for protocols. The first protocol to be converted is SMTP for sending messages. This work is in progress at the moment. It's possible to actually use it on beta if you set a preference and if you're not using an exotic authentication method. If you're using normal password and also for OAuth, you can enable it and it will work, possibly with some bugs still. Another rather important thing going forward is Thunderbird Fission. Fission is the code name for the current iteration of Firefox. Longer term efforts to utilize multiprocess wherever. To enable this on Thunderbird, to do it the right way, there was a lot of adjustments to be made. And I'm glad that to announce that on beta, we're finally there now. So we're compatible to use it, but not really using much of it yet. So longer term, this is I can see this giving good performance improvements as we tackle technical hurdles to be able to enable it one piece at a time. We're also doing work to move away from legacy encodings, both on our side and also to enable servers to do as much. We don't no longer support writing anything other than UTF-8 emails, and for SMTP and IMAP we have gained support for UTF-8 in both protocols. it should let server implementers move over to that as well. For OpenP, PGP, we're still working on improving it. So far in this cycle, we've been working mostly on correctness fixes. And another important change for developers, automated test coverage, which makes it possible to do more changes later on without fearing that you break the system. For Thunderbird 91, we still hope to improve the UX quite a lot with encrypt if possible, and also guiding the users to sending an encrypted email, partly also connected to moving towards more use of tofu. So if Thunderbird ever obtained the key in an email, or it can discover it from some source, if you want to go and send an encrypted email to that person, you should be able to do that, and Thunderbird should guide you how to do it. We have a chat component in Thunderbird, if you didn't realize. So there's, for instance, IRC support. We hope also to enable matrix support in the upcoming release and do some other UI improvements over there. The general front end received some niceties as well since the last release. We now have integrated PDF.js support, so you can open PDF files inside Thunderbird without using external software. For those who have a lot of folders, an improvement that just landed is the ability to have multiple folder views of the folder pane showing at the same time. So you can now put favorite folders on top and all folders below that if you want to. We are also going to improve the setup flow for the services that we support, utilizing all the auto-discover possibilities and capabilities that we have already. So that could be beneficial to both users and also providers who like to have good services for their users. The address book will receive more backend fixing. For instance, we want to get multiple email support working. We have to change how we store the data a bit, and we're also working on a new front end, building on web technologies. Yeah, there are plenty of other things going on as well. I don't think I'll go into further details at the moment. But if you're curious or impatient, we have betas that can be obtained from thunderbird.net. Otherwise, check out Thunderbird 91 in mid-2021. If you have any questions or comments, please send me an email. Yeah, thanks for listening.